Thank you, choir. This morning we will be reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. You'll find the passage on page 1007 of your Pew Bibles, Mark chapter 13. As you're turning there, thank you again, Tim. Where's Tim? Ah, Mr. Rogers, up there. Thank you again for your testimony. We appreciate it very much. And for wearing purple Very good. During the Advent season, we wear purple, so we match with the church and the candles. I know last week Morgan said, well, I don't have any purple, so I have to ask my mom to take me shopping. No. Well, if you have pink, then next Sunday we will be wearing pink. Pink is the third candle in the Advent series, a pink rose, to commemorate. It's the third week. We remember the third day when Jesus rose from the dead. So you can wear pink next week. Also, just an update, Kay Johnson moved yesterday. A bunch of us, men and women, got up real early and went driving and packed all her stuff up and moved her to Eflin in less than 2 hours. It was pretty amazing. So thank you for those who were able to help. And she will continue to need help, so continue to keep her in your prayers and to communicate with her. One correction in our bulletin, the Joy Group is having a lunch this coming Saturday, and in the bulletin it says 10 a.m. up top, but it's actually at noon. So come at noon. Please do sign up on the glass table in the back hallway. We do need numbers as soon as possible because it will be catered. If you come at 10, then you're welcome to stop by the parsonage and hang out with the pastor for a couple hours before the lunch begins. Also, on December 11th, we'll be having a caroling, and the details are also in the bulletin. Make sure you read all that's in the bulletin. So again, this is the Advent season. We've been going through the book of John, the Gospel of John, but we're going to take a break these next few weeks and go through the lectionary. Now, the lectionary is a compilation of scripture that has been chosen specifically for the current season. Many churches all around the world use various lectionaries, and I bet you've used a lectionary or two in the past. Any of y'all familiar with Our Daily Bread? A little booklet, yeah? They have daily scripture and then a devotional. So that's a form of a lectionary. My grandfather, he would buy a dozen issues of Our Daily Bread and then just pass them out to whoever he met on the street. There are other lectionaries, like some Bibles are organized in a lectionary format. So every day you have a psalm, you have an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage. Well, there's a one lectionary called the Revised Common Lectionary, and it works the same way. You have an Old Testament, a New Testament, a psalm, a gospel reading for every Sunday. And many pastors and churches go through the lectionary all throughout the year. But I thought it'd be a good time during Advent season to read the scriptures that churches, brothers and sisters of ours around the world are reading at the very same time as we celebrate the Advent season. And in a way, these passages will remind us what the season is all about. So we're going to be reading in Mark 13, and Mark 13 is all about Jesus talking about the end times with his disciples, the day of the Lord. The disciples early on in the chapter, and you can read it later, they're just walking through the city, and they start pointing out how great the temple is, and they just start boasting about their country. It's just such a wonderful country. And then Jesus, and they're expecting Jesus to, you know, get in on the praise, but instead he warns them, your country is destined for dust. Everything is destined for dust because something is coming up very soon. So we're just going to read the very last section, and I'm going to start at verse 32 of Mark 13. Again, in your pew Bibles on 1007, and go to the end of the chapter. So this is the conclusion of Jesus's preaching to his disciples. No one knows about that day or hour. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. He's talking about his return. Be on your guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. For he comes suddenly. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. The word of God for the people of God. Well, today we're going to start with a little lesson. I'm going to need some participation as well. Russia has a deep Christian history, history that extends even farther beyond the birth of this country in which we live. There are all sorts of places in Russia where you can see this rich Christian history. One of them is at the very most center of their capital in Moscow, the Red Square. And I have a couple pictures to show y'all. The first one is, this is a picture of little Pastor Rich about 10 years ago visiting Red Square. You'll see a couple buildings. To the right is Lenin's tomb, and to the left is St. Basil's Cathedral. The next slide will show St. Basil's in all its glory. It's a beautiful, beautiful church. I've been standing there for several hundred years. In the very middle of Red Square, with the Kremlin on one side and Lenin's tomb on the other, it is in the very middle of the center of this city. It's like if we were to tear down the Washington Monument and erect a church right there in the middle of the mall in honor of Jesus Christ. We probably heard a lot about those Russians during the Cold War, but we forget that there's many, many Christians in that country. But similar to this country, a lot of the spirit of Christianity has been lost. The church still stands, though. Well, we are going to learn a few Russian words today before we continue. And again, I'm going to need some participation. But for those who know Russian, you'll have to stay a little quiet. Okay, first word. The top is in Russian, and the bottom I transliterated, so you can kind of pronounce it if you don't know Cyrillic. Anyone want to try to pronounce this word? Anyone? Isus, yeah, very good, Isus. Anyone guess what that might mean? Yeah, Jesus. It's the word for Jesus. And actually, it sounds a lot more like what his name would sound like when he was living, Isus. We add the J in the beginning. But it's Isus. This is the name of Jesus in Russian, Isus. Nice. Okay, a little harder now. Next. Anyone want to try to pronounce this? Good job. Good job. Yes, Voskresenye. Anyone want to guess what that might mean? No? It means Sunday. It's the word for Sunday. It's also the word for resurrection. This is their word. So they'll walk down the street and ask, well, Igor, what are you doing on resurrection? Well, I'm going to church in the morning. Oh, okay. So the idea of Christ's resurrection we celebrate on Sundays is infused in the language itself of Russian. And then we have a third word. Anyone want to try to pronounce this? Good try. Mark, do you want to pronounce it? Say it again. Very good. I cannot pronounce this word, partly because of those five consonants in the very middle. See, that D-R-C-T-V. Bostvutsier. Anyone want to guess what that means? It's what Jesus said, the very last word Jesus said in this passage. Watch. Yeah, watch. Or in some places in the New Testament, be alert or be awake to watch. It is probably the most difficult Russian word I ever came across. Mark, you might want to introduce me to even more difficult words. But those five consonants, they destroy me. I can't even get to the end of that word. Well, there is something even harder than pronouncing this word. And it's actually doing it, to watch. Why? Why is it so hard to watch? Let's read again this passage in the beginning. He says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." We don't know when he's coming. And that's part of the difficulty of watching. Well, you know, if you tell me how long do I have to watch, well, that makes it a little easier because I can see the end. But Christ has called us to watch, to watch. Now, Christians understand how difficult it is because for 2,000 years, we've been trying to figure out when Christ is coming back, right? Time and time again. And I think I listed them at one time in a sermon. Or the year 666 was a crazy time in history. People were expecting Christ to come back. Or the year 1000, the year 2000, if we remember, there was a lot of anticipation. Recently, this year, there was anticipation on May 21st, 2011, if you remember hearing about that. One man, he was just completely convinced that Christ was coming back. Or that a rapture would occur on May 21st. And when May 22nd came around, and then May 23rd, he announced, "Oh wait, that was a spiritual resurrection. October 21st will be the day of the Lord." And then October 21st came and went. Because of his predictions, he was awarded a prize. Y'all have heard of the Nobel Prizes, right? Given to people who have done great advancements in science and literature and peace around the world. People are given the Nobel Prizes. Well, there is another prize out there called the Ig Nobel Prize, given to people who have done, well, all sorts of weird and crazy things. I have a list of a few of them here. The Ig Nobel Prize for Physiology was awarded to a group for their study on no evidence of contagious yawning in red-footed tortoises. Very interesting. In chemistry, they created an alarm that wakes you up with wasabi. Ooh. In medicine, studying the effects of holding your urine in. Physiology, trying to understand why people sigh. In biology, certain kinds of beetles trying to mate with certain kinds of Australian beer bottles. And in peace, the Ig Nobel Prize in peace, solving the problem of illegally parked cars by crushing them with armored vehicles. And then in mathematics, it was awarded to this man who tried to use mathematics in the Bible to predict the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I feel kind of embarrassed that we Christians are awarded this kind of prize. I would much rather have us work to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize more than the Ig Nobel. Or perhaps some of the crowns in heaven that are waiting unclaimed as of yet. And I promise you that there is no crown in heaven with the title, Predicted the Day of Christ's Return on it. Christ does not call us to predict that day. He calls us to be faithful. And those who know or presume to know when Christ comes back has forgotten this verse, which still stands, that not even the angels know, or the Son knows, only the Father. People have been predicting for 2,000 years, and they are 100% wrong. They've used mathematics, cosmology, history, literature, psychology, and sometimes maybe a little common sense would have helped. Why don't we listen to Jesus? We cannot predict his coming. But one reason why it's hard to watch is that we don't know the time when Christ will return. It could be during the service. It could be before the day is done. It could be next week, or next year, or next millennium. When will the Master return? Well, no one knows, and again, we're not called to know. We're called to be faithful, and to be faithful servants. You notice in that passage, we're called servants. In the story of the owner of the house, the master of the house, going away and leaving the servants, not to twiddle their thumbs, right? What are the servants to do? To do the things that they were assigned to do, right? I think part of the difficulty of waiting is that it's not a passive waiting, that it's an active waiting, that God has called us to do things as we wait. In the Navy, we had a saying, hurry up and wait, which was probably most of what we did, waiting for this, waiting for that. Part of that waiting was just twiddling our thumbs and waiting for this next thing to occur. But sometimes it was truly watching on the deck for lights in the horizon, for ships, or for unidentified objects. It was an active waiting, a watching, a looking for this thing that may be coming any moment. Well, as Christians, we have a similar assignment to watch, to stand watch, to watch for Christ's coming, but not in a passive way, but active, through the many commands that Jesus also called us to do, not just watch, but to, as we go, we make disciples, right? We baptize them. We teach them. We help the widows, the orphans, the immigrants. Through Compassion International, we give to children in need. Through the Lottie Moon offering, we give so that missionaries can do the work of Christ all around the world. We give of our finances. We pray for missionaries in every country, including America. It's hard to watch because it is not passive, it's active. Well, we are waiting for the owner of the house to return, the owner of creation to return. And it's fitting that we read this story, this little parable in the story, this season, this holiday season, when our families are coming home for the holidays, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's, they're coming home and they might have called you and said, yes, we're coming home soon. You might know the day and maybe even the hour that they're coming. Or maybe you don't. And so you ready your house, you clean it up and you prepare. You might prepare a meal. Every time you hear a sound outside, you run to the door, ready to meet them at the door. Well, we are also waiting for our Master Jesus. We're putting our house in order during this Advent season. What are things that are weighing us down from being Christians ready and waiting for Christ to come back? We're always looking out for him to come any moment. Ready to meet him, not at our door, but to meet him in the air when he returns. And that day will come. But until then, we watch. Advent is a time to consider your life, to see if your house is in order. Would you be embarrassed if Jesus found you where you are today? Is there something that you need to change in your life? Take some time these next few weeks to think about that and to act upon it. Advent is a time where we have the opportunity to reorder our life and get ready for the coming King. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. I love all of these signs, right? When the sun rises, or when the sun sets, or when there's a full moon, or when the rooster crows, or when the sun rises. All of these signs are signs in nature, right? Where we look to the light or the darkness, where we look to the sun or the moon, or when we look to creatures who are marking time for us. It reminds me of when I would spend my summers with my grandmother in Puerto Rico. The house in the back had a bunch of chickens, and the bed I slept in was in the back of the house. So every morning, the rooster would crow, and the chickens would cluck, and that started the beginning of a new day for me. I woke up to the clucking of the chickens. Well, we have earlier in this passage, in Mark 13, Jesus talks about these signs that we might see in nature. And he says this: when you hear of wars and of rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are just the beginning of birth pains in Mark 13, 7 through 8. Now, some of y'all know the difference between the beginning of birth pains and actual birth, right? There's a big difference, right? In the magnitude of pain among many things. So we see these things in nature, these wars and rumors of wars, of famine and earthquakes, and we can get really riled up and excited that maybe Jesus is coming once this war begins or once this war ends. But Jesus is saying, calm down, don't worry. These things are going to happen, but the end is still to come. It's hard to watch, because when so much of these things are happening all around us, our eyes can be averted from watching out for Jesus and having our eyes fixed faithfully on following Jesus during these times. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. Watch. So Jesus calls us not to to be found sleeping when Christ returns. And it's not just the literal sleeping. There was a time when Jesus told his disciples to stop sleeping. It was right after the Last Supper, if you remember. They all took a trip to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus asked his apostles to pray for him, right? It was the last night. And then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch. Bodhisruzie. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Yeah, there are times when maybe we should watch out for our literal physical sleeping, but much more dangerously are other forms of sleep that we can fall into every day. The sleep of being interested in other things and having our desires and passions pulled from Christ and towards other things. Thinking that what is important is what you see in this life, that there are things that we cannot see, that we are seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ, forgetting what is most important, that we have a better citizenship, we have a better country, and we have a better king. Being lulled to sleep by the world views of the world, of the values, of the epistemologies that we stumble over, the Weltanschauung of the world, things that creep up on us, things that must be battled by reading scripture and living with other Christians who teach us what is really true, how we really see reality, what is most important. And then maybe one of the most dangerous ways of falling asleep are the worries of this world, where our eyes are diverted to things that we have to do, especially during this Advent season, of writing our greeting cards and putting them in the mail in time for Christmas, or for shopping for everyone to get that Christmas list done, or maybe more serious worries of people in your lives who are sick. These things worry and break down our resoluteness to watch for Christ and be faithful. God calls us to cast our cares, our worries upon him, for he cares for us. Things that take our eyes off expecting Jesus and onto other things, even the activities of Christmas. Well, I'm going to end with one last story from Methodist history. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, he was preaching one time and he noticed that some people were sleeping in the congregation. And so all of a sudden he yelled, "Fire, fire!" And then the people woke up and they looked around and said, "Where, where?" And he said, "In hell for those who sleep under the preaching of the word." Well, I'm not going to be as animated today as Wesley, though I will say that we must keep watch each and every day, that we don't fall asleep, for the master of the house is coming, and he can come at any moment. I encourage you to watch this season and to encourage others, other Christians, to watch as well. We, as a community of Mount Hermon, encourage all to come and join this congregation to celebrate Advent together. Perhaps you have some decisions to make this morning. Perhaps you do not have a master. You do not know what it means to be a servant of the King of creation, which is a very good place to be. Well, I encourage you to come forward. You can join this family of God today. Perhaps you want to join this congregation this morning in participating in the watchfulness of the Advent season. Well, you can come forward today and become members this morning. Or if you have any other decisions you want to make before your church family, I encourage you to come forward during this last hymn of invitation. Join me as we pray. Lord, in every tongue and language in every nation and every people on this earth, you have children who are watching this Advent season, who are saying in their native tongues to watch, because your son can come in any moment. Lord, we join them this morning in watching on this beautiful Sunday, Vaskrisenia. We celebrate that you have risen from the dead and that you have promised to return. Lord, make us faithful in watching by the power of your Spirit today. We pray these things in the name of the one who has promised to return and will return soon, Jesus Christ. Amen.